4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Ruth Adelson and Hope Layton interviewing Sam Ryder, April 10, 1996. Sam, would you tell us, please, once again, your address?
23M Gateway Towers, Pittsburgh, 15222.
One thing I didn't ask you, or maybe we didn't get on tape, is were you bar mitzvahed?
Yes.
Could you tell us something about it?
Well, I recall being bar mitzvah, and it was held in our home, and God, I don't know how many people were there, but I know that the house was filled with people.
And pardon me, Sam, was the service held in your home, or did you go to the synagogue?
No, I went to the synagogue.
Okay.
And the
which synagogue?
So-called. I went to the Romanian shul in, I was on Robert Street.
In Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah. Dad was a member there. So that's where I was bar mitzvah, and then we came back to the Keys Rocks, to our home, and that's where the fair was held at dinner. As much as I can remember, it was quite an affair. I ended up with a lot of pins. I remember
that was the big bar mitzvah.
A lot of Waterman pins. That's what I had.
How about your instruction for becoming bar mitzvah? How did you get that?
That was by Rabbi Preter, who was in the Keys Rocks.
Okay.
And he was the rabbi in the Keys Rocks. And
did you go alone, or did you go with a group of kids? Wasn't there something they used to have a cheder?
The cheder was Rabbi Preter's home.
Okay.
That was all of the children went to Rabbi Preter's home,
uh-huh.
And we sat around the table in his dining room, and that's where we got our education.
Okay. So you were educated in the Keys Rocks, but you were bar mitzvah in Pittsburgh. Okay, and then came back to your home.
And
it was, and as you recall it, it was a positive.
It was a big affair. Nothing compared to what they have today.
Oh well, that
you know, today is unbelievable.
That's wrong.
I think some of it gets to be ridiculous today. As I heard, that's been taking place here very, very shortly. It's going to be strictly a formal affair.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's ridiculous. The mitzvah should be for children,
mm-hmm.
and it should be geared towards the children.
So you found yours to be satisfactory?
Yeah.
Good.
I had a great time.
Okay. Can you think of anything else in Sam's early life, Ruthie, that we might have not asked him about? Did you go to Sunday school also? Did you go to a Sunday school or a religious school?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I did not go to Sunday school.
Okay.
I did not do that.
And
did you do any Jewish organizations when you were teenager?
Did I belong to any Jewish organizations?
As a teenager?
No, I didn't. No, the only thing I belonged to is there was a social fraternity among a group of about 20 people, 20 fellows here in Pittsburgh, called Sigma Alpha Tau. I'll never forget that. And we had a branch that we developed at Washington, Pennsylvania. And we had our affairs, and we had our dances, and we had our meetings.
Were you all Jewish? Affair. Everybody was Jewish in the group?
How
old were you for this?
I was in my late teens, 17, 18, 19. You asked me what Jewish origin is. In all of my life, I've never gone with anyone other than Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But late in life, I have a buddy who is non-Jew.
I know.
But
late in life, it seems to work out okay.
But I'll tell you, I think she's more Jewish,
mm-hmm.
because she's been with Jewish. She spent a lot of time with the Jewish people, and all of her friends were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to services with me, goes to synagogue with me.
Mm-hmm.
And of all of her friends here in Pittsburgh are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we never even think of her as being non-Jewish.
Do you belong to a synagogue here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Tree of Life.
You belong to Tree of Life.
Tree of Life here in
Pittsburgh. And do you attend? How would you rate your attendance?
I'm a typical Jewish father that goes to shul 3 days a year.
Okay.
But I think I'm a good contributor to the synagogue. back up there in the foyer, and I made a contribution of $5,000 to them, besides other contributions. I think I'm a good member, although I don't attend.
Also, we didn't learn very much, and I wonder if you'll be able to tell us something more about your first wife, Tilly. Now, her maiden name was Ellen.
Her maiden name was Matilda Lich, L-Y-C-H.
Okay.
And she was born in the Keys Rocks, April the 4th, 1909.
How did you meet her?
Well, the Keys Rocks being a small town, all the, we all knew each other. But she was very, very active in the Sunday school. And I have two sisters, Sarah and Sadie, she's gone. And she was making an effort to get them interested in the Sunday school. And she would come to the house from time to time. And she was all right. I have to tell you a little bit about the romance. So she would come to the
house. That's all we'd like to hear.
Yeah, she would come to the house and hello, goodbye, and that is it. And I was going with a girl at that time, and we were practically engaged. And it was taken for granted that I'm not going to mention the girl's name, but she's still around. But anyhow, it was taken for granted that we were going to get married. Then one evening at the store, it was around 7 or 7:30 at the store, it was very, very quiet, and I said to Dad, I had a car, my car was outside, and I said, Dad, I think I'm going to go to Pittsburgh and go to a movie. He said, okay. So I get in my car and start down, going to Pittsburgh, and lo and behold, there was Tilly waiting for the bus, or the streetcar at the time. So I said, you're going to Pittsburgh? She said, yeah. I said, come on, I'll take you in. Now, she was going with a fellow who was studying. She was going in to meet him. So I said, well, I'll meet you after that and take you home. And she said, no, he will take me home. So we had a very pleasant ride into Pittsburgh. And I said, let me call you sometime. And that's what happened.
Is that right?
Yeah, so,
That's very nice.
Yeah, so I called her after that, and we started to go out, and forgot about the other girl, and married Tilly, which is one of the smartest things I ever did. She was a wonderful woman.
Could you describe her? Could you tell us something about her?
Well, she was vivacious. She always had a smile. She was the type that brightened, the room brightened up when she walked in. Everyone loved her. And I don't know whether you know my daughter Ruth or not.
You do, don't you?
But Ruth is a takeoff for her mother. And I think as she gets older, as she becomes more and more like her mother, she was very active in the community. She was a wonderful speaker and just a nice person, a good person. Now, when we got married, of course, I had a lot of problems with my family. My mother and dad, they were most unhappy because the girl that I was going with at the time came from a wealthy family, and she was a nice girl. Tilly, on the other hand, that they had nothing. I mean, her father made a nice living, and that was it. Well, you know, in those days, you could marry a rich girl. What are you going to marry her? Well, she's a nice girl, you know. But, so they didn't care too much for Tilly when they got married. But as time went on, they got to love her, and I can't say enough about her.
That's a wonderful woman.
She was wonderful. Yeah.
What kind of a wedding did you have?
We had a large wedding. And the wedding was held at the L Tower Apartments, if you recall. Called. That's before your time.
Spell this down. Can you spell that?
L Tower. E-L-T-O-W-E-R.
In Pittsburgh?
That was in Squirrel Hill, where the Imperial... the Imperial House. You
know. Oh, okay. Yeah. Later became the Beacon Apartments Hotel, too, I think.
Before it became a hotel.
Yeah,
it's
at the top of
Munhall. Right at the top of the hill. Yeah, and
so you had a large wedding despite the fact that your parents were not terribly thrilled about it.
We still had a large wedding. Uh-huh. And Then we went on a honeymoon, and we left for Florida. It was the first time I went to Florida. Had a Ford car, and we drove to Florida. We got married February the 1st of 1913. Washington, D.C., where it was the first stop, and we continued on to Florida. Two green kids. I'd never been out of the Keys. Well, I went to Pittsburgh, but never been out of Pittsburgh. And we really didn't know what it was all about. I look back now, and it's ridiculous. And but we had a good time.
Then you came back from your honeymoon, and you lived in the Keys Rock.
We lived
you
in
were
the
working, still working
I
for your
working
dad.
I was still working with dad, and lived in the Keys Rock. Continued working with dad for, I guess, about 3 years after
that. Did you have any children? Were any of your children born while you were living in the Keys Rock?
Yes, Marlene, that's my oldest daughter.
Uh-huh.
She was born in the Keys Rocks.
Okay.
And she's now 63. So 63 years ago. And I didn't get along too well with Dad. We had our differences in the store. I just felt I should be making more money than what he was paying. So I quit. And I didn't think we were too good. But I went to work and I developed a route. I don't know if I told you about
that. We did. We have a very good work history. How you
so
built
I,
that.
So I started with that.
Where did you live when you were young?
I lived in the Keys Rocks on 12th Street.
Okay.
That's the West Park section.
Uh-huh.
We lived on 12th Street. In fact, we lived in a home that my dad owned, and of course we paid him rent. And we lived there for a number of years, and where did we go after that? Yeah, then I left that. Well, we moved out of there, and we moved into a new apartment building. It had four apartments on Broadway.
I know where that is in the Keys Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we moved there, and we were there for
Then your egg business expanded. Did you move from the Keys Rocks? Did you move into the city, or did you?
No, no. Always stayed in the Keys.
You stayed in the Keys Rocks.
Always stayed in the Keys Rocks.
Right. Right.
And stayed in the Keys Rocks. Then I think I told you what happened to the egg business.
Right. Right.
And I went to work for Duck Grow.
Right. And you moved to Altoona.
And I moved to Altoona.
Right. And Tilly was still living there
yes,
at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
Right.
And Tilly, we went to Altoona, and then we went to Johnstown, and then we came back to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And a year after we came back to Pittsburgh, we lived at the corner of Beacon and Shaw.
Beachwood Boulevard.
Yeah, Beacon.
Oh, Beacon, where Beacon comes down
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Shaw.
Right.
And
I know where that is. Uh-huh.
We lived there, and she passed away a year after we were here.
That was in 1960?
No. We lived there,
uh-huh.
And then we moved from there. We moved to the Kenmore.
Kenmore, is that the one on Shady?
Yeah, 401.
Uh-huh.
We moved there, and that's where she passed away.
And Ruth was still at home when
yeah,
you
Ruth,
moved to the Kenmore?
Ruth was at home.
And your mother-in-law?
My mother-in-law had lived with us, and after Tilly passed away, she lived with us for a while, but I think she became very uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
Well, about a year after that, Ruth got married, and then it was just mother-in-law, and I think she was very uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
Now, she had two children. She had two sons. One lived in Cleveland, and one lived in Chicago. So she decided that maybe she'd be better off with her sons. So she went to Cleveland and stayed there for just a couple of months, and it didn't work out. And had a problem with the mother, the daughter-in-law. So it just didn't work out. So she left there and went to her other son in Chicago. She was unhappy there. So one Sunday morning, there was a rap on the door. It opened the door, and it was her Mammy. We called her Mammy.
Uh-huh.
It was Mammy with her suitcase.
She's back.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Come on in. So she stayed with me for a few years.
Did she?
She was never comfortable with me.
Uh-huh.
I got the phone calls, and, you know, after a year, the phone calls, women would call her. You know, she couldn't work out too well. So then we got her an apartment at the Wendover. And she stayed at the Wendover.
What was her name?
Her name was Estellovich. Estelle. By the way, she was born in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Was she? The Southern Belle.
Yeah. And then she went to the home, Jewish home. And she was there for a while. She passed away about, I think she was 94.
It was a terrible thing to lose a daughter, I'm sure. Very hard for her. Yeah. That was a terrible loss.
Anytime a parent loses a child,
that's the worst. But it was an enormous compliment to you that she came back.
Oh, she was wonderful. We got along very well.
She lived with you a long time, didn't she? I mean, before your life.
About 30 years.
About 30. Did she live with you in the Keys Rock?
She did. No. So when we went to Altoona, she went to Altoona with us. We went to Johnstown, she went with us to Johnstown. We came back to Pittsburgh.
That was really nice. Your children had the grandmother there, too. That you all lived peacefully.
She was great. I had a lot of respect for her, and I felt an awful lot of her because she gave me Tilly. She gave me my Tilly.
You said that Tilly was active in the community.
She was active in the Jewish community.
In the Keys Rock.
In the Keys Rock.
What did she? In what way?
In the Sunday school and in the synagogue. We called it shul.
Right. Sure.
So she was active in that.
Was there a Hadassah in the Keys Rock? Did she participate in that kind of stuff?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
When we went to Altoona and we went to Johnstown, she was active in some of those things.
Was she?
Yeah. She was very active in the synagogue at in Johnstown.
You liked living in Johnstown a lot.
Yes,
that was a happy time for you.
Yeah, we went together. Yeah. We enjoyed it.
Did your children go to public schools in Altoona and in Johnstown?
Johnstown.
And did they have any religious training at all? Did you belong to the synagogue?
Oh, yeah. We belonged to the synagogue in both Altoona and Johnstown. Of course, they were older in Johnstown, so they participated. They were very, very active in the synagogue. And we had a wonderful, wonderful Jewish community and a very active synagogue.
Where?
In Johnstown.
In Johnstown.
Yeah, it was a wonderful. In fact, they had the three synagogues in at Johnstown. I understand it's all changed since that time. You know, it's wonderful. We had a wonderful rabbi. We had a wonderful cantor. It was a good time of our life.
Yeah. How would you describe it as? Orthodox, conservative, or
we were conservative.
You were
they
conservative.
Had an Orthodox. They had a conservative. They had a reform.
But you belonged to
we
the
conservative.
Were your daughters bat mitzvah? Did you have a bat mitzvah?
No, they weren't.
They didn't do that for girls,
did they?
No,
they weren't.
And my daughter wasn't.
No. I mean, this is something that's just come out recently.
Right.
I don't know, years ago. But 50 years ago, they didn't have a bat mitzvah.
That's right. How about confirmation? Were they confirmed?
They were confirmed.
They
were. Ruth wasn't. I'm not sure about Marty.
Uh-huh. How about in your home with your wife and children? How did you live as a Jewish family? How did you observe? You know, how would you describe how you lived?
Well, you know, we lived as a Jewish family. We never we didn't keep a kosher house. But we never had ham or bacon. I have never tasted ham or bacon in my life.
Is that right?
I couldn't swallow it. I have never ever tasted it.
I see.
And of course, we never had it in the house.
But did you keep kosher? Did your wife buy kosher meat?
No.
Okay.
But We never brought any traits into the house.
How about seafood, shrimps?
No.
Okay. And let me think, what else did we think about as
that would be a Friday night dinner?
Oh, yeah, every Friday night, bench to last, light the candles, yes, yeah, we did that. And
the holidays, Passover.
The holidays, the Passover.
Rosh Hashanah.
Kept all the holidays.
Yom Kippur, you did all that.
Kippur, all of that.
Did you celebrate Hanukkah with the children?
I didn't. She did. Uh-huh. With the children.
You lit Hanukkah candles?
We had the Hanukkah candles. And my children still do that. Ruth and Marlene still do it today.
There's been a rebirth. In fact, they do more today than they did when I was a child.
Yeah. They still make up what they call bench to lift.
Yeah, and they do that.
Yeah, they do that. And both Marlene and Ruth, I think they do very well with the Yiddish, the Jewish readings.
Read Hebrew.
They read Hebrew very, very well.
And that's wonderful.
They know the brachos and all of that.
How did they learn it?
Sunday school. Okay. And going to the synagogue.
Oh, they learned it in Sunday school. That's terrific.
And the same thing with their children. Their children are well-versed. They do Hebrew very, very well. Even the little ones, the grandchildren at the Seder, I'll tell you, I sat there and got a lot of knockers out of watching them and listening to them. The little ones who were 10 years old, 11 years old, and very, very...
They were able to read some of the prayers or
they could read everything.
Prayers,
yeah,
and ask the four questions.
Yeah, they read them. Yeah, we had a wonderful, it took almost 4 hours for our Seder. So.
That is really a Seder. That's terrific.
Yeah, well, their fathers, the twins, he's very active in the Jewish community, and he wanted to make it as meaningful as possible for the children. So we were there almost 4 hours.
That's a wonderful event, I think, the Seder. It has a lot to do with it. How about any community organizations? Were you a member? Did you participate in the community? I know you were working long and hard.
No, I didn't. I'm not a organization. Mm-hmm. I belong to the JCCs. I pay my dues. I'm a member of the Tree of Life. I pay my dues. But I don't attend any of those. I think I contribute well to the community and the various organizations, the UJA. I feel I'm part of the Jewish community.
You certainly are.
Yeah,
you are.
As little as I do, I mean, it's all with the Jewish community. I have no Gentile friends, or I don't associate with any Gentile friends.
But you live as a good Jewish man.
Yeah, not that I say there's anything wrong with it, but somehow or other, I'm just more comfortable with my own.
Right. Although you must have been able to deal with non-Jewish people in your work.
Comfortably.
Oh,
I have no problems with that.
Right.
No. Yeah. But my social life, I like to be with the Jewish.
Uh-huh.
I belong to the Concordia Club, and I enjoy that. I'm more comfortable in a Jewish environment.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true of many of us. How do you view your accomplishments and your successes? Because you've had many successes, there's no question about it. How do you view your life?
Well, I think I've been successful. I feel that I've been successful. I've been successful because I started with absolutely nothing, had no help from anyone other than two business associates as I went along, and I reached the stage in life where, from a financial standpoint, I am most comfortable. Now, not only that, I have been blessed with the things that money cannot buy. I've been blessed with good health. There's a whole, I've had some problems with, somebody said the other day, the golden age, it sucks. You know, the golden years suck. But anyhow, I've been blessed with good health, and I have a wonderful, wonderful family that gives me nothing but nachas. I have two daughters who married two very fine men, and I've always, I don't refer to them as my son-in-law. I just look at them as they are my son. I have the most fortunate of having five great-grandchildren. Everybody's healthy. Everybody does very well. Everyone's making a nice living. And I have, when I was 80, I turned the business over to my one daughter. When I gave them the business, they became millionaires that day.
Is that right?
Now, I had a problem when I retired because I have two children.
You told them about how you had to divide your assets.
I didn't know what I had to.
You did, and how well it
worked. Yeah, it's worked out very, very well.
Yeah,
so I have helped my children along, mm-hmm. and they are now in good shape. And we have a wonderful relationship in our family. We're very, very close. And even to the my grandchildren, Marlene has two children, a son and a daughter, who both live in Philadelphia. And Tammy bought a home in the Cheltenham area of Philadelphia. And when Eddie and Joan decided to buy a home, they wouldn't look anywhere else except Cheltenham. So they wanted to be together as close as possible. And the great grandchildren of both families go to the same school. I would think I'm a success.
You know what?
I would be a success if I didn't have the financial, enjoy the financial problems that I have.
I think what's a particular credit to you is they say it's a mother who keeps the family together. But you did that kind of single-handedly. I mean, your wife died at a relatively early age. And you managed to keep the family
kept them together.
Very warm and loving family. Yeah. That's an enormous achievement.
And we just started something here within the last couple of months, and that is we have a family dinner once a month. Marlene will have it at her home. Ruth will have it at her home. And I take them out. So
that's
once a month.
That's fun, too.
Yeah.
So once a month, you
the family, we get together. Because I have done that in the past, and I rave about my family, and then I get very uncomfortable with it because I find that the person I'm talking to, they have problems in their family.
Most people do.
You know, they have
right.
problems, or sickness, or
yeah.
whatever.
Children disappointed.
Yeah.
Quite
yeah.
right.
I know people that have so much more money. And I think that they're a failure. They won't change other places. They have problems with their children. They don't have the respect of their children. And I think if you don't have the respect of your children, you're not a success. You must have that.
That's
a very warm. You must have that. That's the way I feel. I'm very close with them. I love family.
You're a very warm man, and it must be. Reflects with your children. Is there, now this is the question I'm supposed to ask you, is there anything in your life you wish you could have changed?
Yes. When I went to work for Gutbros, on the siding, I often think of this. It was a type of, I did the type of work where I, although I lived in Pittsburgh at the time, I would leave home on Mondays and not come back until Fridays. And I did that for many years. I wished I wouldn't have done that. I wished I would have stayed home because I could have made a living right here in Pittsburgh. That's the only thing that I would ever change. It was the years that I spent away from the family.
How many years was it, Sam?
Oh, it must have been 7 or 8 years. The children were growing up. Right.
So,
yeah.
So you missed out on
them. I missed out on them. The years they were going to school, and they had little fairs at school, and so forth. I never got to go there.
But you made up for it.
Well, I try to make up for it since
yeah.
that time. But that's the only thing, that's the only yeah. regret I ever have in my life. Otherwise,
you know. You know what? We've interviewed a number of very successful people, such as you, and I think that's it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. each man said, the man